Hi everyone, this is Dr. Cheryl Spellman, and welcome to What Women Must Know show, empowering you with truthful information so you can make the most informed decisions possible for your health and well-being. And thank you for joining me today. This show is such a delight for me to do because I have these wonderful conversations with extraordinary people who are making such a difference in the world. And I am just happy you are joining me this week. Hope you'll be joining me every week. And to make that really easy for you, I encourage you to either go and like me over on my Facebook page, which is What Women Must Know, because I post all of my podcasts there, or you can also opt in to my newsletter at Dr. Cheryl Spellman, that's drcherylspellman.com, and I send all of my shows out every week, so you'll get them into your inbox, and you'll catch them that way, or you can just go over and like me at What Women Must Know, and they get posted. And you may know that I actually have two programs on Progressive Radio Network, so here we are listening and having a conversation on What Women Must Know, but my other program is called The Love Code, and that's every Saturday at 11 a.m., unless you just opt in and it'll come to you. But that's a more spiritual program, and that's a great delight as well because I get to have wonderful, inspiring people on the spiritual path of all sorts of spiritual paths, talking about the ancient wisdom and sharing their knowledge to allow us to connect more to the spirit within us, and we can live a more purposeful life and a healthy life. So hope you'll be listening to both of my podcasts in your busy week and learning lots and just getting continually uplifted and inspired, which really is the name of the game in our life. So thanks again for tuning in, and we're going to have a fascinating conversation today. My guest is Gina Bria, and she is an anthropologist and founder of the Hydration Foundation, recognized as a leading resource for hydration science and education. She has been named a Real World Scholar and is co-author with Dr. Dana Cohn of Quench, Your 5-Day Plan to Optimal Hydration, recommended by the New York Times, Oprah's O Magazine, NPR, and many other media sources who recognize how she is changing the conversation on hydration, making it easier for us all. So we're going to be talking about the secrets of hydration for health and healing, and you'll be quite surprised at the things you'll learn today. And without any further ado, I'm so happy to welcome my guest, Gina Bria, to the show today. So hello, Gina.
Dr. Cheryl, I am so excited. It's not 8 glasses a day.
You're so cute with all your little quotes and quips about hydration. I love it.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
We were talking before we got on air, and I was saying just how important hydration is and what I've been learning over the years about hydration. And one of the most fascinating statistics that has stuck in my brain, Gina, it's stuck in my brain for years, and that is this one, that the 100,000 biochemical reactions that go on in our cells every second. You know, it's hard to fathom, 100,000 biochemical reactions go on in our cell every second, and for them to do their job, a cell must be properly hydrated.
Wow.
Awesome. What can you say, right? It's just
awful.
Like a mind-blowing thought.
Yeah. It's a mind-blowing thought. In my, you know, story about how I came to hydration, one of those numbers that stuck in my head that really reshaped everything, and maybe we can help that happen for your listeners, is that by molecular count, in other words, if we counted up all the molecules in our body, 99% of them are water. And that was so stunning to me that I shifted my self-identification. I came into really realizing, oh my gosh, humans are water beings. We just happen to be surface water beings, not not in the water, but we are walking water. And that the need for being continually replenished and having a flow through system in our, to understand ourselves as that moving, living flow system is a really, really renewed way to approach our whole lives, how we move about the day, how we think about ourselves, how we think our thoughts. And what we're willing to, like, continue to store and bank on, or what we're willing to let flow through us and move on to new, roll into new places in our life. So there's, you know, every metaphor possible available to us to think about water and being hydrological beings, and then connecting that with the electrical potential, because the one of the major purposes, there's many purposes of water, but one of the foremost ones is to conduct electrical function. We all know water conducts electricity. So we just don't think of that applying to us, you know.
Yeah.
It's very exciting to realize that our hydration is not only our fuel, but our capacity for thinking, for feeling, for receiving life at a higher percentage, and giving back life at a more powerful voltage, if I can put it that way.
So you are so passionate about hydration, and you're really one of the driving forces of this Hydration Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really curious, Gina, you're an anthropologist by training.
Yes.
Tell us how you arrived
at
this
point
in time, about, a little bit about your journey.
Right. Well, it's a surprise to me. but I will say that as an anthropologist, I was doing research on desert communities and why, how they were managing drought. And, one of the first obvious, observations was they didn't have access to 8 glasses of water a day, which everyone knows biologically is an immutable fact. We all need 8. Everyone knows we need 8 glasses of water. We've heard it from time immemorial. So I was like, well, why aren't they dead? I don't understand. This just doesn't seem correct. So I went looking for how they actually manage their hydration. And I was basically doing archival ethnographic work, looking at old ethnographies of desert communities who hadn't yet had access to, you know, pipes and water treatments and so forth. And I was looking at their eating practices and hydrating practices, and discovered they were using plants. They were using the water locked in plants, which is so more efficient than liquid water, that they need far less water to hydrate with. And that was such a shocker. I was like, wait, that's like major news.
And these were desert people, so like they got it from succulents and cactus and plants like that?
Yes, cactus, aloe, tubers buried in the ground. They're a great source. If you think of, you know, even a potato tuber, you know, if you cut it open, you're going to see that liquid. Well, the liquid inside of plants is a molecularly different liquid than liquid found in, say, a glass of water or bodies of water or lake or river. The water locked inside of plants has had the benefit of being exposed to minerals in the ground and sunlight through photosynthesis. And that changes the way the water molecule is shaped, and it restructures and reorganizes it so that the water then becomes a phase of water. It's the science is called fourth phase water, or structured water, or ordered water, or cohesive water. There's a lot of names for it because different communities, laboratory communities, are finding it under different conditions. So, but we're all talking about the same phase of water, that it conducts more electricity, far more electricity than water in the liquid state. So this state of water is called, it's like a gel state, and it can be as thin a gel as only 10% more viscous than liquid water. at just a slightly silkier feel when you drink it, or say a mineral water, you can taste a difference, a silkiness attached to the tongue that's different. That's already, the water's already started conducting electricity at a higher level at that point. So it turns out when you start understanding this, you find out this water is everywhere. It's actually water's most prominent form, and that water and foods, and so now we have this new way to think about water. Immediately, we know it's not only blue, it's green. So when you look around you and you see all those green plants and trees and fields, all of that is, those are all forms of profound water that we were missing, that we didn't realize was part of the hydration change. So hydrating through foods has become an extremely important message carried through the Hydration Foundation and our educational programs. And by foods, I'm talking about something as simple as an apple, a salad. You know, salad greens are 98% of the finest decontaminated, structured water available to the body. Cucumbers, gazpachos, when you make those gorgeous soups, you know, even sautéed or made into soups, all of these have extra hydrating capacities that we didn't really understand. And now that we know that, we can start shifting where we do our hydrating, and that has a big effect too. So I'll stop there so you can.
I have lots of thoughts going on. So, so this is one of the realizations that is so important, because if you're eating processed foods as opposed to real foods, you know, fresh vegetables mm-hmm. and fruits, mm-hmm. we can talk about the role of fats as well.
Mm-hmm.
You are not able to get hydration from your food anymore. So you're more likely to be in a dehydrated state, even though you may be drinking lots of water. And we can talk about the kind of water you're drinking, because some water actually
yes.
sure dehydrates you as opposed to others.
Yes.
So it's another understanding, kind of going back, a blinding flash of the obvious, you know, eat live foods, right? Eat real foods,
yes.
live foods, and
mm-hmm.
Always organic as much as possible, because they're less tampered with and contain less, well, they're, you know, have more minerals and less toxic from exposures. But there's something else you said that I think deserves more time, because it's something that I have been learning about, and that is this kind of water called structured water. It's called the fourth phase of water. It's like water actually is not just a liquid, you know, a steam or
mm-hmm.
ice.
Mm-hmm.
Now we know
mm-hmm.
it exists within
mm-hmm.
us in cells
mm-hmm.
and plant cells as well, as you were saying, in another form, which is
mm-hmm.
more of a gel-like consistency, which is fairly new in our understanding and discovery of the properties of water. So why don't we just spend a little more time and dive into the fourth phase of water and what it is and what it does in our bodies and why it's so
important. Yeah, I love doing this. This is really the crux of the matter. So we're not actually talking about a new phase. We're talking about a recently identified phase that always existed. That's a help for people, because when they hear, oh, you know, now there's a new, you know, the next new thing, this is actually what we're doing is reopening the concept of where and what water is. And water actually, if we put the whole package together, a hydrological understanding or a holistic understanding of water, water moves through different phases. We already know that. We know water in vapor form, and we know water in liquid form, and we're very familiar with water in ice form. We just didn't know that there were stages in between each of those as that transition is going on. So I love to help people understand that there's a stage of water or a phase of water between liquid and ice called the liquid crystalline state. So it hasn't yet fully become ice, but it isn't in the disorganized state of liquid. It's actually lining up into hexagonal shapes, literally crystal snowflakes, but are still in a malleable form, and they haven't yet solidified into ice. And that state of water is very long. It's got a lot, it shows up in a lot of places in a lot of different states. So the early stage right after liquid is, you know, lightly crystallized until it gets all the way to a place that's like, well, think of crystallized honey and how those liquid crystals show up in the liquid at a sort of certain point. Or you can even take it one step further. And now that we understand the state of water is the state of water inside our bodies, that we're not actually bags of liquid, we're bags of gel. And each of our cells is full of a jelly-like water, like almost like a jellyfish. And the minute you hear that, you intuitively know, oh, of course, I'm not a bag of liquid. I experience myself as, you know, a more gel-like state. And even now the understanding of what this liquid crystalline state and stage is that it can go all the way from a very light crystallized state to something as dense as cartilage. And the recognition that the cellular structure of the body, even a cell like bones and cartilage, is a crystallized form of liquid. It's really quite extraordinary. Our new understanding means our anatomy of ourselves has to shift. Our understanding of our anatomy, our understanding of how we actually have life force within us, that it's voltage-based, it's electrical-based, and it's all conducted by various densities of liquid crystalline water. Wow. What the heck? That is totally breakthrough way of understanding ourselves. And it's going to have a profound effect on how we care for ourselves going forward, especially in the context of electromagnetic frequencies, which we're now facing in a new and challenging way. Right, this is information coming out right as we have brand new challenges. One, water scarcity, but now we have new ways to find water. Then we have, you know, new profoundly electrical understanding of the body, and we're in a digital age, so we understand forms of information storage that we couldn't have understood before. I mean, much of this understanding is coming because we're ready for it. And plus, by the way, we need it. We're right at the edge of the cliff. We need a whole new paradigm. Thank you that it showed up right now when we need this. So, yeah.
Well, I get your excitement about all this, Gina. You know. But
it's a spiritual adventure, let me tell you. It really
is.
it
is. I mean, understanding the intelligence, the immense intelligence of the body is a spiritual adventure. And this fourth phase of water, this gel-like consistency, isn't just a consistency that happens to be in the cell, in a healthy cell. As we age or under stress or exposed to toxins, then we lose this important form of water that makes up the matrix of the cells. But it also it's an active part of the healthy functioning of a cell. It's giving information. It's allowing processes to occur. I mean, without this kind of nature of water, this form of water, we actually can't survive.
I love that you said that, and it's absolutely true, Dr. Cheryl, that the sustainability of the body now really requires new levels of hydration, but we can't keep drinking ever more. You know, we just can't. We cannot guzzle more liquid. So thank God we found out, oh, it's available through our diet and food, and we can activate it in other forms than just guzzling water. We can actually activate the gel transference from for something by like exposure to sunlight or grounding or meditation practices in which this kind of water then is able to crystallize or change its shape because it's not assaulted by cortisol. You know, things like this are this new really concept of how we're going to sustain ourselves in a ever more threatening industrialized environments that we live in. But I think that question is so important. But why I get so excited is that it's not only the question now of sustainability, but the understanding that our capacity to go rise above where we live now because we understand that the water inside of us has a living quality in which that is going to impact our own states of consciousness, our own health states and our own possibility states, our own spiritual advancement, can be all enhanced by the way we approach hydration. I'm literally talking about longevity and quality of longevity, but not at the level we think of now, and actually a higher level of profound, like plugging in to the electrical field. That's a whole amazing way to be thinking about this.
You know, you've touched on so many things, and I want to go through them, like the role of sunlight. I had Dr. Thomas Cowan on my show a couple of times, and his latest book, The Cancer and the New Biology of Water, was such an eye-opening book for me. And and as a result of it, one of the things that I now incorporate into my daily program is this Kintan marine plasma water, which he talks about, which is this very special energized seawater that's found in some vortex in the middle of the ocean somewhere. So fascinating, and how it was this amazing healing water back in France in the early 1900s, and performed miracles of healing, just properly hydrating with the minerals and that unique energetic structure of the water, which he found from this naturally occurring vortex. So that was just so fascinating, and I've been doing my best to turn lots of people onto the Kintan plasma water, because it's so critical, and people don't any time to understand it, right? Because it's not something we have heard of before or understand.
Yeah, well, I can do a really shortcut understanding. So when we live in a culture and in an agricultural sector that depletes the soils of minerals, and so there literally is a very, very little way to get a hold of the kind of mineral at the balance and proportions of mineral that we need, that we've needed in the past and are depleted now. Now we can go to the ocean, and there are places in the ocean that have the entire periodic table, and harvest from there while we get our soil regenerated, which we're working on at the Hydration Foundation as well. So these are very holistic questions, but here is a source of the all the periodic table of minerals available through ocean water, which should have been, you know, saturating the land, except we've depleted it. So it's the place to go and get our minerals now, basically. That's the way I would describe Kintan water. And you'll get a hoot out of this story, because I interviewed Dr. Tom Cowan for the Hydration Summit, which I, of course, invite all your listeners to. You can register at the hydrationfoundation.org. It's on our first page there. And we have Dr. Cowan's interview. It was posted last week. He talked about Kintan water. It was the first time I'd heard of it. And then we interviewed Robert Slovak, who is also a proponent. And as we had these discussions and I began to understand it, I was like, wow, this is a really valuable therapeutic tool for speaking as an anthropologist, for an environment which is depleted from so many different sectors, whether it's air or soil or emotional content, lack of rituals, families that live in isolated conditions from each other. I mean, the depletion that we're facing on every possible ethnographic front is, we've got to address that. So when Tom Cowan started talking about getting minerals from the ocean, I was so excited and happy. It was like, oh, great, here's a super sensible solution that's very approachable. I don't think it's more than a dollar a serving. Which may be expensive for some, but then there's always these great strategies, which is, you know, use half or take it for a month and take a month off. You know, our body has a capacity to receive this stuff and accelerate it and use it. So we're not in that loop of supplements that you have to buy for the rest of your life and it just feels kind of overwhelming. It's not that kind of thing. It's how to be smart and savvy in certain environments, but, I was done interviewing with Tom Cowan, and it just so happened my husband walked in and said, you know, I went to that new doctor you recommended, and he had just come in from his intake with Dr. Cowan. And he had a box of Kintana.
Isn't he lucky?
Yeah,
it's a small world. It's very connected.
He has a box of Kintana, and he's been taking it ever since. And it's had a remarkable impact on his life and, of course, then mine, because he has high stress issues, and they've really come down. He's really much more modulated because, of course, how wouldn't your body experience stress, emotional stress, if you weren't getting the whole complete panoply of minerals that a body should have? So, yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, great way to hide it.
After having Dr. Thomas Cowan on the show, then I went on and had Robert Slovac on the show.
Awesome.
So I learned a lot about the Kintana, which is not just a mineralized water. It is very special because it has this energetics of this vortex, and then there's special plankton that live at this vortex.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like protein and special, you know, just energetic components. So it's more than just electrolytes or highly mineralized seawater, that which you know, it's like it's all done in secret, you know, there's a secret lab, and no one can really get in to see what this proprietary process is because it's so profound. So you know, with the show notes, I'll give people a link to this product if they're interested in learning more. But it's pretty interesting stuff. And you know, another dimension of understanding how to create health, how to rejuvenate the body, how to heal the body, and anyone who's dealing with a chronic illness is probably, according to, you know, Tom Cowan, dehydrated on some level.
Yes.
So it's essential that they get proper hydration, which, as you were saying, isn't coming from just drinking 8 glasses of water.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so many distinctions on the water we need to be drinking to properly hydrate,
right?
Yeah. So I was just going to say, let's just go back up a little bit, and why don't you just list the symptoms of dehydration, or there are many.
Yeah.
So let's start so people can get a sense of that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's going to be shocking. So, you know, hold on to something. It's everything. Whatever you're experiencing has upstream, it started with dehydration, because a well-hydrated cell functions beautifully. And it's cell-to-cell communication, electrical function, and wave function, particles, information passing back and forth between cells, all depend on hydration. Brain function, 80% of it is run on electrical function. It's all hydration. So so we can go downstream now and start ticking off things, like saying, you know, starting with headaches or stiffness, and then the chronics that start from that, whether it's fibromyalgia or Alzheimer's and memory issues, balance issues. You know, it sort of doesn't matter whether you have blood. My husband ended up having leukemia in New York City. We were really struggling to figure out how to manage that. And structured water was an extremely important part of our treatments, along with infrared. And I actually brought an infrared lamp to the hospital. I had to hide it.
Right.
But the point being that that hydration is the beginning health of the cell. Then then it knows what function to properly engage in, and whether that's the positive side of hydration, where you're in high function, or whether it's the side of hydration that's getting rid of waste materials and moving all that out of the body so that you aren't compromised by that. Whichever side of the hydration question you're dealing with, whether it's incoming or exiting, it's a hydration issue. And so when people ask me for the list, I try to point them to a more likely place of noticing it in their life, their daily life. If they're a person in health, they're going to notice the first sign of dehydration is fatigue. You know, they're going to notice their acuity going down, their motivation going down, their irritability coming up. They're going to notice visual acuity beginning to diminish, brain function. And I think we know that the environments that we live in deeply, deeply fatigue us. And the counter, the antidote for that is a better form of hydration, not guzzling more water, but finding new forms of hydration in our life to combat the constant stress and fatigue that we're assaulted with in this modern age. We got to adapt.
Yeah, and you know, your cell needs that water, and like we said, 100,000 biochemical reactions per second are dependent on properly intracellular hydration, which is the whole key. Not the you know, there's water that can accumulate between cells, which as you age, you tend to have more of that. There's a bioimpedance test I used to get done when I saw my holistic doctor, and he would do this BIA test, and it would measure your intracellular and your extracellular, and you want more intracellular ratio to the extracellular, and to the degree you have more water operating outside the cell than in the cell, you have problems because then the cells can't communicate, can't function. So it's a problem with aging and stress and toxicity that we do not properly hydrate within the cell. And so people can be bloated, right? You can have bloating and you can have all this swelling up, but that's extracellular. It's not going, it's not high, proper hydration in the cell, obviously.
Yeah, that's a good point, too. Dr. Cheryl, it's a good point to help people realize that guzzling all that water, and which many people are trying to do. So you see people, you know, literally walking around with, you know, 2-liter, 4-liter jugs, and you're just like, wow. That water, what? If you're drinking that much, it's not getting, it's flowing through you, but it's not getting to your tissues or into your cell. And that's the difference between drinking and hydration. It's just two very different acts. So we really want to help people understand that that you've got to get, what are the strategies for getting the right kind of hydration to get passed into your cell so you don't have to be exposed to that much water.
And I have seen people carrying, you know, liters, 2 liters, 3 liters, or whatever, and drinking it throughout the day. So what? So that can be harmful for us, right?
Yes.
I mean, we're flooding
it
our systems.
Harmful.
It's almost like a stress on the kidneys. Or it's just not a normal thing to be drinking that much throughout the day, and especially in the winter. You know, I'm very much a seasonal person, so I eat seasonally, and my body responds with what's going on with the season. So my moods, my energies, my food cravings, you know, desires, they all change. And you don't want to be drinking 4 liters of water in the wintertime in the cold weather because you're, you know, you're not sweating it out, you know. You're just going to be overdoing it, and that can be a problem. So it's you know, this is such an important distinction, hydration as opposed to drinking lots of water. That's like that's a important distinction to make.
Yeah, and I'd like to carry that further, which is that when you drink that much, you're likely actually flash flooding your system and pulling out the very electrolytes that your tissues are trying to hang on to. So, and plus nutrition, by the way. I hate to surprise people, but you're pulling out the very nutrition you need to run your system. So this is why, you know, water packaged by nature in an apple or a piece of melon is so superb, is it's covering all those things and delivering them in the right package, in the right proportions, in the right time all together. So you get the hydration in the plant material, the natural minerals that are occurring, and the nutrition that needs to be disassembled and bioavailable through hydration. And, you know, I love nature. Good job on that packaging, by the way.
So that's great. So how do you know when you're properly hydrated?
Well, you feel great. You aren't stiff. You sleep well.
Okay.
Your skin's great.
Yeah.
So you're funny. You're funny. What can I tell you? You laugh a lot.
Okay. Well, you know, signs of good health, you know, obviously. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about how sunshine, how exposure to the sun plays a role with hydration. I find that really fascinating.
Yes.
And I'm a sun worshiper these days. You know, I get up, watch the sunrise. Jack Bruce has a huge influence on me. And ever since I've learned about his information, I have been getting up and watching the sunrise and try to get as
That's
much
beautiful.
Exposure to natural light. Yeah.
Me too. And I came into that commitment myself, Dr. Cheryl, through the work of Laura. I'll think of her last name in a minute. She's a fantastic a researcher of the microbiome at Southern Texas University. She gave a lecture at Woods Hole, the famous, you know, evening lecture at the Woods Hole Marine Institute. And she said the thing that so shocked me was she said, even your bacteria, even your microbiome has molecular clocks. All your cells have molecular
mm-hmm.
clocks.
Mm-hmm.
Even your microbiome has molecular clocks. All of that is run and organized on the angle of the sun. So when you get sun exposure, all your cells know what time it is and what their job is at that time. And they start their clock and they know how to spin from there. And your microbiome is doing the same. So if we don't have adequate exposure to sunlight, our signaling, our cells don't have the proper commands to know how to orchestrate their function and then coordinate with the microbiome. So sunlight is what is the master clock. It is the master timekeeper for life on this planet and life inside of us. And one of the things that sunlight does is not only set the timing, but it activates the water within us. So the minute the water inside of us is exposed to sunlight, it starts the process of this organization of the water molecules. And they then are able to signal more coherently to other cells and cell function. So it's the sunlight is what we were biologically evolved to grow under, just like a plant. And
wow.
The relationship between light and water is essential. So if you just cut one of those, you get out in the sun but you don't have enough water, or you get into water but you don't have enough sunlight, the system doesn't work.
And, you know, the majority of people actually have both of those issues going on because we're not out and exposed to the sun, and especially early in the day, and getting our circadian
mm-hmm.
clocks established
mm-hmm.
for the day, because every cell has a clock in it in order to, so it has the right rhythms. And if you're not getting exposure to the sun or have time outside in the sun significant amount, plus you're not drinking or eating enough of the foods that are properly
mm-hmm.
hydrating us, then yeah, we're going to have some serious chronic health problems develop.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's no way out of it because your cells are all disorganized.
Yeah.
Nobody knows what to do when. And that including the activity of healing. So this relationship between light and water is the essence of how life is driven and manifested. And so this is a profound conversation because we currently have a medical establishment which is asking people to stay out of the sun or to put
right.
sunscreen on their skin, which immediately interferes with the process that we're
yeah.
looking for health. So, and they did that in a very earnest attempt to try to protect us, but it's definitely the wrong direction. So when you say you get hydrated by sunlight, people look at you like you're crazy. And, you know, you just got to be kind of sassy back and say, well, come with me and see if you feel better after our walk.
And it's so much a part of our disconnection from nature, which
yeah.
I've talked a lot about, that we've become so artificial in how we live and how we eat and how we think and what we're exposed to, that we're so disconnected from nature and
mm-hmm.
these natural cycles and rhythms and the information that nature gives us. I don't mean it's talking to us, but it is. Nature is talking to us, but I mean the frequencies, the information that comes on
yes.
the frequency of the sun. That's information
yes.
that is talking to
yeah.
our cells. It's talking to
yeah.
us on a deep and profound level of keeping us connected and balanced. So, yeah, so that leads me to one other topic I think I really want us to be sure to touch on, and that's a topic that's kind of near and dear to me, and it's the impact from electromagnetic frequencies. So our Wi-Fi world, everything now with our, you know, everything in 30 years, we've gone from nothing to saturated with Wi-Fi,
mm.
and And what I've been researching and learning and talking about, of course, is the impact of exposure to the microwave radiation frequencies as a dehydrating energy on the cells. So it literally dehydrates our cells being in the field, which we are in 24/7.
Yes. And you can think of it either as a drying effect. That's one way it dehydrates. Literally, your cell phone dehydrates you, literally. You can think of it as just simply the heat of the cell. You can think about it as the radiation from the cell. You can think about cell phone postures and the way we all lean over our screens and our phones, and therefore we subject our synovial canal to a steeper incline and almost like the kinked toes. So we get less mechanical hydration. But I think one of the most important ways to talk about it is helping people understand that the waves from electromagnetic frequencies, literally, I want you to think about what happens when you throw a pebble into a pond and you see those waves go out. And electromagnetic frequencies are chaotic waves. They're static, and they're interfering with that beautiful, circular, rhythmic, precisely spaced waves that go out when you throw a rock into a pond. And if you have that thought in your mind, I just want to help you realize that hydration is that kind of regulation of waves. Those are the frequencies water sends out, healthy water. So water is going to be a hydration of the right kind, of this gel form, is going to be a very important tool for helping us mitigate those chaotic waves, because we know water can eventually put those waves into coherency. And that's a very important message in the threat of EMS, which we're all facing, because right now the whole conversation is about how dangerous it is, and the concept of protection is a less discussed part of how we're talking about it. And I really want to help people get to the protection of hydration, that it can buffer so much. Water is the ultimate balancer, and it can find a way to cope with those incoming waves. So you want to care for your hydration. You want to care for yourself as a water being, knowing that you can really help mitigate the forces that are out there that are difficult for us right now, that water can actually do that.
So one of the technologies that I've been introduced to a really long time ago is, it's based on the research of, the research has actually demonstrated the validity of this technology. So the research is about aquaporins, which I'm sure you know all about. But this discovery that, you know, the way water gets into the cells is this channel that's like one molecule wide. So you have to have water structured in a way that it is single file, in a sense. And the technology that I was introduced to is called molecular resin effect technology, developed by Dr. Igor Smirnov, a Russian, who is able to, based on water that was healing water in the Caucasus, that allowed people who had exposure to Chernobyl didn't get cancer, or they did get cancer, but they were able, they did have exposure, but they didn't get cancer. And he went, you know, about this story, and he went to investigate why, and then recreated the technology that generated the kind of structured in water that has been so protective. So I've been using this piece of technology, which takes like it's a 30-minute activation for about 15 years now, Gina. And this is the water that I'd have my filtered water, and then I put it through this process to align the water so it can properly have the single file alignment to get into the cells. With I do everything with it. I cook with it, I wash with it, everything. And it's been pretty amazing, the healings that have occurred from people using this water. So, you know, I'm just so fascinated by all these facets that we're talking about, right? And it's just everything's coming back home to roost.
Yes, and that's beautiful and brilliant that you found that so early on. And I haven't met you, Dr. Cheryl, but your voice is so full of life and vitality that, you know, I get the resonance right away. This is a really healthy person with a real passionate love for life. And that's where we all can be. That's what health is. I wish there was a better word for health. It's kind of a boring word. I wish there was, like, you know.
I know. We have to make up a new word.
But the resonance. So what you've identified in that story with Dr. Smirnoff is that he identified the frequencies, right? And mm-hmm. those frequencies are available to us without technology. You know, they're called peace and prayer and gratitude and the act of mercy and, you know, the joyfulness. Those are the same resonances. Literally, we have this. We are broadcast units ourselves. And if you can't afford the equipment, you know, what we try to do at the Hydration Foundation is give you a whole multiple ways to get this kind of water, to recover this kind of water in our life from something as simple as the relief of prayer, you know, of taking your worries and putting them into the universe or letting God carry them for you, which is the appropriate place, letting your creator do it, or adding salt to your water, you know, so that you use a nice Celtic sea salt or I like Redmond brand salt because it's a desert ocean that still has salt that we can use. That's this, you know, multiple ways. Eating a cucumber, caring for a dish of beautiful stew that before you take that bite, you're just so glad you're alive and you're so thankful that this is going to feed you. Looking at a bouquet of flowers, taking care of your plants, petting your animals. This changes the water inside of us.
And this is the, profound spiritual dynamic of water, which is an information carrier, you know. It carries mm-hmm. information and frequencies, which is really what the universe is made of, as Tesla always says, you know. The universe speaks in frequencies, not words. So it's two things I want us to cover before we come to the end. We're heading towards the end. We're not there yet, but
okay.
I want us to cover fascia mm-hmm. and the role of fascia for our health, and talk more about what we can do to hydrate our bodies properly. But I just have to say that I'm fascinated with water, and many people know about the work of Dr. Emoto, who mm-hmm. was this Japanese researcher showing that different emotions, different words could change the structure of water. And I started experimenting with that, Gina, and I would just, I have a very sacred calligraphy from a teacher of mine, and I just, you know, I play around with a pendulum, and I just sat that jug of water on top of this card with this sacred calligraphy word
mm-hmm.
in Chinese. And it was incredible because after about a half hour, I tested the water and with my pendulum, and it just was swinging like crazy, like something had changed in the energy mm-hmm. of that water. And then I take it outside and I put it in the sun, and it changes the energy. So that water now that I'm drinking, it looks like ordinary filtered water, but it has a very different energy and frequency to it that you can only, unless you're sensitive, you know, you use something like a pendulum can give you that kind of information. It's just amazing to me. I mean,
mm-hmm.
just words can, just attaching words or colors or stones, crystals into water can change and alter and enhance the frequency of water and the information
mm-hmm.
water carries.
Mm-hmm.
Can you elaborate a little bit about
yes.
that?
Yes, I hope I can make it really, again, a real shortcut to understand it. So I'm hanging out with all these high-level scientists flying to Bulgaria and meeting the Russians, and it's all very beautiful and exciting. And let me tell you, the best researchers, the ones who are really finding out new things about water, they're all very humble, men and women. They have, you meet them and you recognize why water would want to say something to them. So we're talking about the kind of scientists where they you know, they're so glad that you're willing to talk to them, and you're like, oh my God, I'm in the room with a Nobel laureate. Extraordinary. But what they're all talking about, you want to know what they're all talking about. This is so fun. They recognize the whole conversation is, oh my God, we didn't know it until now, but the water molecule is the finest computing machine we have. It can store more information, it's more sensitive, and it's more receptive to all information that we've ever seen than anything we could ever build. So all these IT guys are now hanging out with these scientists saying, how do we make a water computer? Show us how to make, we've got to use, we're trying to use, how can we make a water computer? And the big aha moment for me in all these conversations was going, why do we need to? We are one.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, we are walking water computers. That means that everything that happens to us, probably not only individually but collectively, is stored in the water molecules outside of us and inside of us.
Hmm.
Now, the fascinating thing about that is that there is also a material reality. This is just an informational reality. And now you can make more sense of that if you're a digital person in a digital age and you know about, you know, frequencies and, you know, long distance passing of information. All this is like, oh, yeah, that's nothing. Well, what is interesting is that the water molecule is the translator molecule for the immaterial into the material. And where that happens in our body is the fascia structure. So fascia is nothing more. It's very exciting. I want you to, if you're listening, you should go on YouTube and type in this phrase. YouTube, view of the living fascia, and you will see a 26-second picture, a little video, of what fascia looks like inside your body. Brilliant Dr. Jean-Paul Gimbertot stuck a camera under there. Nobody knew it. And there it is. We are full of gossamer spider webs. It's just everywhere. There isn't anywhere. There isn't anywhere there aren't these incredibly fine, refined, gossamer-like tissues that cover and touch every single part of us. And they're so fine that they actually go down to the cellular level and they tug on the cell plasma membrane. They deliver all the information in our body, and they are the hidden irrigation system that we were not aware of. So in this video, you actually see droplets of water traveling on these gossamer threads, just as if you woke up in the morning and you captured a spider web with dew on it. And you go, how can that be happening inside of me? That's extraordinary. It's just extraordinary.
And it is extraordinary. And I was saying to you earlier that I am so fascinated by fascia because, if you lost your skin, and so your skin was removed, you would still be identifiable because the fascia is the exact duplicate mm-hmm. of yourself. You know, your mm-hmm. body, every feature, because it's covering every single thing and, you know, going right down to the cellular level. And it's mm-hmm. it is a superhighway of communication that goes to the brain and back. So mm-hmm. it's instantaneous, you know, that this information is traveling throughout our body and communicating directly to our brain of what's going on and then working, there are ways to work with this superhighway and to get the right information going after mm-hmm. something has interfered with
mm-hmm.
that flow of information.
Yes. Perfect
and you,
segue. Yes.
Go ahead. Yeah, good.
This, it's exactly the right segue now to talk about why motion is so hydrating. So now you understand that as you move these tissues, you're actually squeezing and releasing your information highway. You're accelerating the passage of that information. You're getting hydration as a wet thing, but also hydration as a cell-to-cell function, hydration as a detoxifier, hydration as a signaling and information highway to be all activated at once. We are meant to be moving. We live in an immobile society. So what the surprise news for your audience is that you don't need to move very much to get this really active. So I'm going to give you two moves, which I think are really so simple, but then you'll totally get it. And the first one I call, it's a little recipe for movement, and I call it the chin to chest. And you literally just drop your chin down on your chest. I'm doing it now. And then you raise your head back up. You can even go, drop your head to the back of your shoulders a little bit, just enough that it's gentle for you. Then drop it back to your chest. Your chin's going to meet your chest. If you're like me, you might have two or three chins. That's okay. Then you raise your head back up. And what you've just accomplished is an entire flush of your synovial canal down the back of your head, all the way down your spine, the base of your pelvis. And when you squeeze your head down to your chest, you're squishing out all the old, you're giving a flush to that old hydration that's been collecting waste. And when you raise your head back up, you're drawing brand new fluid up through your synovial canal. That's your major waterway in your body, right up the center. It's bathing all your nerves. Brand new set of information going out through your nerve and fascia system. It's amazing. That takes nothing. You can do that in bed. Literally, you can raise your head up from your pillow, touch your chin to your chest, and I do it every morning because I've just slept through the night and there's tons of waste in my head. Same with doing it cleansing. I want to dump all that in my synovial canal, flush it out for the day, then get up and move. You know, then I've done something extraordinarily powerful with hydrating my body in a new way. So that's one recipe. My second recipe is also equally simple, which is just, you know, stick out your hand in front of you and notice where your thumb is. And then you might be palm up or palm down. It doesn't matter. It's just then you're going to twist your hand so that your thumb is facing down or facing up. You know, you're just twisting your whole hand all the way
your
from
wrist.
Your elbow and your shoulder, your wrist, your elbow.
Oh, your whole, from the shoulder, the whole.
The shoulder, yeah. The whole thing, just give that a beautiful squeeze. What you're doing is you're using your skeleton as sort of a loom, and you're twisting all your tissues around that central bone structure. They're getting a gorgeous squeeze as if it were a wet rag that you were wringing out. All that waste is out of your tissues, and then when you release, new hydration is being pulled in, that old waste is being sent onto your lymph system. So any kind of body twist, whether you twist at your waist, at your hips, if you're twisting your neck past your shoulders, that arm twist, when you do your ankles, if you fidget with your ankles and you roll your feet, all of those are high points of changing water from good to bad, from bad to good in your system, and it really works.
That's so fascinating. I love the story of fascia, and even more now that it's connected with hydration. One of my guests, Jonathan Summers, is a teacher in yin yoga, so we were talking a lot about why yin yoga, the specific form of yoga, is particularly designed to help with fascia. So it's all these things are woven together, right? All these all these topics, all these issues are all woven together in a beautiful tapestry of coming together, the need for hydration and movement and, you know, protection from EMFs and eating live food. It's just all part of this huge tapestry for health and well-being. And we've come to the end, Gina. So before we go, this has been such a wonderful conversation. Thank you so much for the wonderful work you're doing and putting all these pieces together and enlightening us on hydration. So if people want more, then please go to hydrationfoundation.org. It's a wonderful website that Gina has helped to put together. You can, until March 15th, I think, the summit, the Hydration Solutions Summit, is freely available, and you've got great people speaking on it, like Dr. Thomas Cowan. And take advantage of it, everyone, because this is leading-edge information for health, for rejuvenation, regeneration, for spiritual expansion. It's all connected to the power of hydration in the body.
The spirit of water, yes, within
the
us.
The spirit of water is talking to us, waking, awakening us. Gina, it's been just wonderful. Thank you so much for your time. Gina Bria has been my guest. I have to head off right away or we're going to be cut off. So to everyone listening, always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.
Bye for now.